sort of, well, I won't tell you what it's like. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. It is said, and I think it's true, if there is one great equalizer in the world, it is death. No matter what one's status in life, wealth, position, power, or conversely, poverty, loneliness, powerlessness, it counts for nothing in death. When death comes, as it does for all of us, we are all equal, naked before God. And what is true for death itself is also true for those who are left behind. Those of us who have experienced the loss of a loved one, a spouse, a child, a lover, a friend. The death of a loved one releases a raft full of emotions, a tsunami of grief that leaves in its wake a life turned upside down, like a boat cast loose from its moorings. We are left at the whim of whatever wave of emotion dominates at the time. In these past Sundays of Lent, the Gospel readings have tended to concentrate on the underbelly of human nature. Lent opened with temptations and the struggle for power. From there we move to the confusing discourse between Jesus and Nicodemus, and then between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well, discourses where the struggle for understanding never quite seems to be resolved. Last Sunday, we stood in amazement as the witnesses to a miracle could only argue and accuse each other, blind to the wonder of God that had unfolded before their very eyes. But this Sunday, the mood changes. Here we have something very different. No arguments, no quarreling, perhaps a hint of questioning, but not enough to distract us from the very humanness of the story. For this Sunday, the story of the raising of Lazarus is a story of every human being. Where Martha and Mary stand, we stand. Where Lazarus is and will be, is our destiny also, if we only believe. The story of the raising of Lazarus is a story of death, of grief, of love. It is our story. But most of all, the story of the raising of Lazarus is a story of hope and of new life. As with many of the stories and parables in the Gospels, and especially in the Gospel of John, it is easy to get lost in the details, to fixate on one aspect or other of the narrative. Is this Lazarus the same Lazarus we find in the story of the rich man and Lazarus in the Gospel of Luke? We do not know, and we have no way of knowing. What is the relationship between Martha and Mary and Lazarus and Jesus? And why in this story does Jesus seem to tarry 2 days after receiving notice that Lazarus is near unto death? We can speculate. We can read what John says. But we cannot know. And how is it the illness and death somehow lead to God's glory? I think that's one of the most treacherous theologies out there. Times when I've heard pastors say, I know it's tragic, but this is all for God's glory. Try saying that in front of a woman who's just had a stillbirth. And yet it's there. It's there. These are questions more of theology than of history. And there are some New Testament scholars who have suggested that perhaps this event never happened at all. It's simply a story woven out of whole cloth by the gospel writer we know, John. A theological statement being made by the gospel writer. All of these questions have merit. As to whether all the events around the story of the raising of Lazarus really happened is open to question. But frankly, I don't think it matters. Because what is fair to say, I believe, is that John would never have included the story if there was not a kernel of truth behind it. And the basis of the story is life and death itself, and the new life which follows. A close friendship has developed between Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Jesus. Lazarus is taken ill and near to death. So they send a messenger to Jesus, no doubt hoping that if Jesus were to arrive in time, he can cure Lazarus. But Jesus is delayed. And when he sets out to meet, he is met by Martha, who tells Jesus Lazarus died. He died some 4 days ago. Martha is open in her grief. She tells Jesus that had he arrived in time, her brother would still be alive. But hope never dies. And Martha tells Jesus that even now, she believes that in him, all is not yet lost. I think this is where we are getting to the heart of the story. Jesus tells Martha, your brother will rise again. Now, here we have one of those other Johannine confusions. Mary thinks that Jesus is referring to the resurrection at the end of days, something that many Jews believed in. But Jesus replies in words of a deeper magic, of resurrection and of new life. The story concludes where Mary meets Martha and Jesus on their way to the tomb of Lazarus, where Jesus himself is overwhelmed with grief. There is incredulity on the part of everyone when Jesus instructs the people to take away the stone in front of the tomb, which turns to amazement when at the call of Jesus, Lazarus comes out of the tomb alive. Thus, for a time, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus experience life anew, and grief is turned into joy. Well, it wasn't long before legends began to develop around this whole story of the raising of Lazarus, especially as to what happened to Lazarus afterwards. Isn't it interesting how we can never stick to the story? We've got to start creating something else, you know? We're so eager to know the answer of something, you know? So we hear this wonderful story of resurrection, and the best thing we can come up with is, so how long did it last? There's one story that actually Lazarus was murdered. That the religious authorities arranged for Lazarus to be murdered so that it could discount Jesus' miracles. Of course, we don't know. We never will know. And frankly, who cares? Because that's not the point of the story. What is important in this story of the raising of Lazarus is to recognize where John put the story in his gospel. He put the story in his gospel when we are but 1 week away from Palm Sunday and the Passion. Holy Week will take us to the trial and crucifixion of Jesus. We will be the bystanders in that story. We will be the one that will cry out, "Hail to the King who comes into Jerusalem," and then in the twinkling of an eye yell, "Crucify him." From the grandeur of human nature, we will go back to the underbelly again. But by his passion, Jesus is the one who is the resurrection and the life. As Paul will say later on, if Christ was not raised from the dead, then everything we do is utterly in vain. People were being crucified all the time, but only one came back. It is his death on the cross that leads to life. And his resurrection will mean life for us all. The Anglican divine, John Donne, lived in the time of Shakespeare, Elizabeth I, then James I, became Dean of St. Paul's, one of the greatest preachers of his time. He wrote a series of poems, secular poems, love poems, divine poems. He wrote one on death. Its opening line is, "Death, be not proud. Death, be not proud." He says this of our death and of death itself. On our death, he says, "One short sleep past, we wake eternally." And of death itself, "Death shall be no more. Death, thou shalt die." All three readings for this fifth Sunday in Lent fit together beautifully. The story, that wonderful story that we'll read again in the great vigil of Easter, that story of the valley of the dry bones. Them bones, them bones, them dry bones. It's a story of Israel's redemption. It's a story of Israel's restoration. It's a story of Israel coming from exile back into new life. Paul talks about Christ's resurrection not as a once-only event, but something that happens inside of us every single day of our lives. As we died in Adam, so we are born anew in Christ. But none can be so eloquent and so fitting than the story of the raising of Lazarus. For in it we can find our own story. Our own story in this story of death and resurrection. Of life and new hope. We can find this story of death and resurrection for those we have lost. We can find our story of death and resurrection, of life and new hope in ourselves. The assurance for us who will follow. Fitting reading to the end of the fifth Sunday in Lent, as we begin to walk the way of the cross on Palm Sunday. Amen.